on Altogether Now today is from Francine Madeline Dagny and Bob Dagny, who preview It's Elementary, Lessons from the New Baltimore Schoolhouse, a show at the New Baltimore Reformed Church from May 21st to June 19th, tuning in to members of the community who attended the four-room schoolhouse in New Baltimore from the 1930s to the 1960s. The show will later move to Catskill in Athens.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm studio now with Francine Madeline Dagny and Bob Dagny from New Baltimore, and they have a show called It's Elementary Lessons. And from May 21st to June 19th at the New Baltimore Reformed Church. Francine, you want to tell us about the show?
Sure. It's actually Lessons from the New Baltimore Schoolhouse, which is a building that we moved to for my husband's business and for a place to get away from urban life in 2012. And the building hadn't been lived in for a few years, so it was really musty and overgrown. And we would keep the doors open every time that we were there, which attracted a lot of people in the neighborhood. And they'd come up to the open doors, knock on their door, and give us advice about how we should fix up our home. And also tell us about their times at the school. A lot of the people went to school there, even though it closed in 1963. There are, of course, many residents who still live there. And for some strange reason, in little towns, people know you before you even meet them. And everywhere we went, we would hear, oh, you're the couple with the schoolhouse. I went to that schoolhouse. And it would be at AgFest or at the New Baltimore Farmers Market or at the New Baltimore Conservancy Taste of History House Tour. Things would always turn to, I went to school there.
And I've been in your house before.
Yes, yes. And then one of the committee members at the Greene County Historical Society sent us a little packet filled with vintage photographs of people who went to the school. They always took a school picture on the stairs. There are 9 stairs that lead up to the porch. And these photographs dated all the way back to the 30s. And I would, yeah, but the ones that Jean sent us especially, and I would look at these faces and go, they all look so sad. You know, what happened at this school? And I would think, did they, like, skip up these stairs? Did they pitter-patter up these stairs? Were they happy about being here? You know, I always wondered about them. So then when I heard these stories, I thought, I've got to collect them, because people spoke about the school with so much pride and love. And I thought, this was a special place, and it always feels good to be in there. When it just has a great vibe to it. You know, it's a very imposing building. It is filled with, it's on Route 144 in Church Street in New Baltimore. It's at the crest of a hill, and it is a big, imposing, 2-story, 4-room brick schoolhouse. It takes up a lot of space.
With the bell tower.
Yeah, with the bell tower. So people were interested in that building and what was going to happen to it, because it had not been used for so many years. People were worried about the building and who is going to move into it and who's going to take care of it and are they going to take care of it. So there was a lot of back and forth in terms of communicating about the building itself and what we were going to do. When we were at the New Baltimore Farmers Market one Saturday, it just so happened that one of the purveyors there who sells honey went to the school and just like extemporaneously told us this story about how he planted the trees one Arbor Day. That was their assignment, and the boys went out and dug the holes and they planted trees there, and those trees are still there. And we used to have these great kickball games. We have a really long front lawn, and the boys and girls would take turns kicking the ball, and if it would reach the belfry, you got a home run. And he told it with so much detail, and he had this great smile on his face, and he was just so full of pride when he said it, and I thought, I wish I had a recorder with me right now, because I know I'll never get this story the same way again, you know. But I thought, I'm going to interview people. And I went across the street to the church and said, do you know people who went to the school? And of course they did. And it sort of grew from there. They gave me names of people, and those people gave me names of people. And at first I just thought it was going to be like a thank you to the community. But I really saw how the singular becomes the universal, and that there were these patterns about of things to learn about education, about how kids played in this idyllic, you know, river town, how they interacted with shopkeepers and the religious life of the town. And it really had historical merit. And I think that it needs to be preserved. So being a visual person, I do photo styling in New York, I thought, this has to be an exhibit with portraits and text panels. And people would say, well, why isn't it a book? And I always thought there would be like a catalog attached to the exhibit. But some of these interviews were 2-3 hours long in 14 single space typewritten pages. And I knew no one could ever read interviews on a wall. No one would have the patience for that. So there did need to be a book that contains the entire interviews. At the exhibit, there will be wonderful excerpts from the interviews that are in text panels.
Did you record them? Is there audio?
We are working on audio. We're working on cleaning up the tapes right now. But I hadn't really thought to do the audio at first, so I think by the time we get to Athens, that will be ready. Because
you're going to travel the show?
Yes, the show is going to be at the New Baltimore Reformed Church with an opening reception and book signing on May 21st, which is a Saturday between 1 and 4 p.m., and it will continue at the church through June 19th. And then on July 16th, it goes to the Freightmasters building at Catskill Point for 2 weeks. And then it will go to the Athens Cultural Center in September with another reception and book signing on the 17th, which is a Saturday evening from 6 to 8. And it will be up through October 16th there. And from there, we'll see where it goes.
And does it do different interviews for those different towns, or is it the same interviews?
No, everybody will be reading from the same 19 people who I interviewed, and there are portraits of all of these people. There's a wonderful tribute to a gentleman whose name is Cliff Baldwin, who was sort of the town mayor, your favorite uncle, historian, who knew everything about New Baltimore and went to that school. And it was too bad that I missed interviewing him, but I did get to interview his daughter and son-in-law and then neighbors who just know about him and got some wonderful stories via these people that he told.
I think it's important to note that Fran will be donating all the materials that she has collected to the Vetter Library at the...
In Coxsackie?
Yes, at the Green... Yeah. Green Historical Society, I believe, so that in the future if someone wants to hear the audio or simply research the documents, they'll be available.
And what years are we talking about that people went to school there that you interviewed?
Well, Cliff went to school there in the 20s, and the interviews that I did start with a woman who graduated in 1937, and it goes all the way up to the people who actually could not finish school there because the school had closed before they finished their 6 years in 1963.
And what sort of change does that period do you find from the interviews?
Well, again, it was a four-room schoolhouse. All four rooms were not used all the time. Sometimes there were two grades taught in one room. Sometimes there were up to four grades taught in one room, all with one teacher. Of course, the number of children in each grade changed throughout the years. And there were outhouses until the 1950s.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
You don't want to rush into indoor plumbing.
Yeah. You know, in the way they played, the equipment that they had, was, you know, of course there were changes in that. But despite that big span of time, it was always a place where the kids congregated. And it was a real anchor of the hamlet. And people, you know, they went to school there. Some of them went home for lunch. They rushed right back for recess, finished school, had dinner, went back to the schoolyard, you know, to hang out when they could.
Yeah, people may have spent more time there than in any other single building in the town.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to church once a week, you go to town hall to get business done once in a while, but where else do you go that often?
Right, right.
And it had equipment, and there was no real park to speak of at that point in town. It was the park.
I mean, there certainly was a ball field, and of course they played by the river. As a matter of fact, one of the women told me they were called river rats, you know, because there was life at, you know, the river too. But the school was a real hub. And, you know, community groups sometimes use the school, like the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. So it was an important part of people's lives. And we had no idea, you know. So we just happened into this.
What was the reception around town when you started interviewing folks?
They were very curious as to why I was doing this, especially because I'm not from the area. And they're really excited about it. You know, like, oh my gosh, you're putting New Baltimore on the map, you know. I think people don't, you know, people don't realize how important everyone is to a community, you know, and to the betterment of all our lives for the future. So I wouldn't say they're in shock, but they are really excited about it. And curious at the same time.
We see when in the news around here, when there are school closings proposed, people are very passionate and very upset because it's they went there and they don't want their school to close.
Right, and there are like families where, you know, 3-4 generations of family members went to that school. And the funniest thing that I found out while I was interviewing people is that they're all related to each other in one way or another, you know. So it's a close-knit hamlet.
We'll hear more from Francine Madeline Dagny and Bob Dagny in a moment after this song from the Coxsackie Athens Community Band, performance May 15th at Gallagher's in Cairo for the Cairo Historical Society.
Thank you.
was the Coxsackie Athens Community Band performing May 15th at Gallagher's in Cairo for the Cairo Historical Society. Now let's hear more from Francine Madeline Dagny and Bob Dagny about It's Elementary, Lessons from the New Baltimore Schoolhouse, an art show at the New Baltimore Reformed Church from May 21st to June 19th, listening to stories from the members of the community who attended the school's four-room schoolhouse from the 1930s to the 1960s. The show later will move to Catskill and Athens. Here's Francine Madeline Dagny and Bob Dagny.
And what brought you to this particular school?
Well, Bob was looking for a workshop outside of New York City and went online, and boom, the school presented itself.
It was online real estate?
The story's somewhat longer in the fact that there was another woodworker in my building, a really nice guy, very talented guy. And I saw him in the lobby with a bunch of furniture one day, and I said, "What are you doing? Are you moving out on me, Patrick?" He says, "No, but I got tired of driving 2.5 hours just to get to a spot in Brooklyn with no heat and rats." So he took a compass, right? And we're on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. He took a compass, and for a 2-hour circle from, you know, where could he be? He ended up in Claverack because he had connections in Hudson, was into that scene. And I thought, that's a very smart idea. And I was, at that point, in an 18-by-9 room working with woodworking machinery and various projects, and it was a little tight. And there was nothing in that side of the river that interested me, mostly because of cost. It seemed pretty prohibitive. And I have a sister who lives in Ravenna, and at one point, a house in New Baltimore had come up, and it was the first sale since it was built. It was built by the Stewart family, who were shipbuilders. And when I saw the house, I said, "Oh, boy, I got to have that house." But it never actually went to sale. Someone in the community reached out and bought it. And so since there was nothing around Claverack, I said, "Oh, I wonder if that house ever came up." And when I hit New Baltimore, the schoolhouse popped up, and I said, "Wow." I had always wanted a loft in the country, but we always thought that was just like some sort of fantasy. And there it was. I called up my brother-in-law, who used to be in real estate, and his ex-partner was around, and I called him up, and he said, "When do you want to see it?" I said, "Tomorrow." We went, I looked at it, and I put a bid in the same day. I knew as soon as I walked in, I knew it was it. It had been owned by an artist before me, Frank Lido, and his wife, who's a very accomplished potter, Trudy Lido. And
who was also the art teacher at the schoolhouse.
So he had it set up as a working art studio on the first floor already, you know, with the outlets that come up out of the floor where you put the machinery. I mean, it was the big tables, assembly tables. It was pretty much set to go. So I said, "What's wrong with this?" Of course, later on, I did find out.
There's got to be something, yes.
Yeah,
there was quite a bit. We have since, there's only 100 amps of power in there. I needed a water treatment system. There's still no hot water.
Older buildings always have something.
There is a lot. There's a lot, but it's very substantial. I mean, the ground floor or the basement, the walls are 2-foot thick stone, and the footings go down 9 feet because as I had an opportunity, Ted Hillshire, who's the town historian in Baltimore, dug out some paperwork for me, and I got to read the engineer's report from the fellow who surveyed the land before the school was built. And so this was about 1892, 93, he said this report. And it turns out the site was a bog. He said the bog is no more than 9 feet deep with quicksand. Which I thought, well, that's very interesting. So to have a building with that much weight stay.
There's quicksand in Greene County?
There certainly was in New Baltimore at that time. The issue was from natural formation of the land, as the hill slopes down towards the river, there was a natural 9-foot deep crevice in the rock, right, that then went back up, and that's where they built the church. The church is then, the rock rises back up, and they built the church on that. New Baltimore Dutch Reformed Church. And so that hole just continually filled with whatever slid down the hill in rainstorms, and this was a box. So they filled it in, and it hasn't gone anywhere, but there's always quite a bit of water thereabouts. And dealing with the water, as my understanding, has always been a very big issue for anyone who's owned it, even more so now that there's much more hardscaping uphill. You know, there's a fire station was put up there and a number of developments. And so there's more roads, there's more roofs, so there's more water running down the hill. So that's kind of a constant battle as well. But yeah, the building itself is pretty massive. It would take a lot to get rid of it. And the attic itself, the attic rises up 20 feet, and it looks like a barn. There are three huge trusses that run wall to wall that hold up the entire ceiling of the second floor. So the second floor initially was one large room. It's enough about the building. It's a spectacular building. I really love it. I fell in love with it. Basically, what happened? I showed up, bought it.
We're talking to Bob Daney and Francine Madeline Daney about the It's Elementary Lessons from the New Baltimore Schoolhouse show that's opening May 21st at the New Baltimore Reformed Church and running through June 19th. And then it's going to Catskill in Athens.
It's going to the Freight Masters building at Catskill Point, July 16th through 31st, and then off to Athens, September 17th through October 16th.
What was the most surprising thing, I guess, from interviewing people that you found out?
Well, I think I was most surprised by an interview I did with Bill Fink, who is 82 years old now. Because he witnessed so many fires that broke out along the river. And at one point he lived right along the river on Main Street and became a volunteer fireman. And I thought, my gosh, how did you overcome that fear and then allow yourself to be put in harm's way that way? And he did it. So that was a real surprise for me. And I just think the camaraderie that lasted, you know, most of the people I interviewed are in their late 60s, early 70s, and still keep in touch with each other and know each other really well and see each other. It's a very different experience than I had growing up. The way they just had the Hanacroy and all of the trails that they could play on and building forts from Christmas trees. The way they played was so different than my experience, you know, growing up in a city and literally playing stickball in the gutter, you know, was really different from having so many places to explore and enjoy nature. You know, I don't think they take it for granted, but really, it's such a joy to have that, and I'm so glad I can experience it now as an adult, because I didn't have that as a child. And just what characters all these people are and how wonderful they all are. It was a great experience getting to know these people, and just how they opened up to me with their childhood memories was really special.
It sounds like the town will turn out then May 21st to hear about themselves and their stories.
My first book sale was made to a woman who went to the school and lives in Texas right now. And I think someone's coming up from Tennessee. So it's going to be a great time, really nice time.
All right. Well, again, the show opening is May 21st. What time is it?
Yes, 1 o'clock through 4 o'clock. Books will be there for sale for people. And
then what are the gallery hours till June 19th?
The gallery hours are Tuesdays and Saturday mornings from 10 to 1 o'clock. And then on Thursdays and Sundays from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock.
All right. And then it goes to Catskill and Athens after that. And is there a website or anything people can find out more information online?
There's information about it on the New Baltimore Conservancy website. I do have a Facebook page, New Baltimore Schoolhouse. And things have been put into the Greene County newspapers about it already, and there'll be more coverage in the days that are leading up to the show.
All right. Well, thank you, Francine Madeline Daney and Bob Daney from the It's Elementary Lessons from the New Baltimore Schoolhouse Show, coming to New Baltimore May 21st.